Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for almost 6 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. Over the years, Franchise Interviews has had some amazing quotes and advice from our guests, and today you're going to get to hear some of the best clips and advice suggested on our weekly radio show that made our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. The special two-hour show will have over 20 clips from people like the great Michael Gerber, entrepreneurship expert Dr. Scott Shane, some of the top franchise experts and attorneys in the country, and of course us. This show took over several hundred hours to put together, so enjoy.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for almost 6 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. Over the years, Franchise Interviews has had some amazing quotes and advice from our guests. And today, you're going to get to hear some of the best clips and advice suggested that made our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. This special two-hour show will have over 20 clips from people like the great Michael Gerber, entrepreneurship expert Dr. Scott Shane, and some of the top franchise experts in the country. And why don't we go right into our show?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear Recruitment Franchising. My name is Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And over the last 6 years, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear a clip from David Ritterling of Visiting Angels. And we had David on our show quite a few years ago. And as many of you know, I usually go back and listen to the old shows and the new shows. And one of the questions that we frequently ask on the show is, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? And David had a wonderful analogy, and it's very short, but definitely noteworthy of making the Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. So here we go. This is David Ritterling of Visiting Angels with Great Quotes in Franchising.
Really focused on the behavioral aspect. And so you can learn an awful lot about a caregiver when you know the right questions to ask.
Bottom line is that really gets to the core of the business, being a service business. If you have top caregivers and people who are passionate themselves, that's just going to, you know, reflect on the clients and, you know, continue growth for the company.
Well, it really does. And we've got clients now that have been with us for 6 years of our existence. And we've also have caregivers that have been with us for 6 years of our existence. And that just speaks loudly to the relationships and to the fact that we just love our caregivers. We love our care recipients, and we let them know that. And I think that's one thing that there's not enough affirmation in the marketplace. And when we can affirm people around us, they want to be a part of that.
That's fantastic. What advice, David, would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? The majority of our listeners are aspiring entrepreneurs.
Well, I think, again, due diligence is really important. But I think it's great to understand what you're good at, what your passions are, and what drives you in a certain direction. Certainly, the profit motive is always there. But I see a lot more success with people that really believe in what they're doing. And the other part that I heard earlier I totally agree with is that when you buy a franchise, you really want to be able to get into the boat and roll along with everyone else. You want to be able to stay in sync with the system. You want to be able to follow the instructions the franchisor tells you because they're proven. And if you feel like you're a rogue operator, that you want to do things your way, you're going to sort of swim upstream a little bit. And I would really urge everyone that's looking to do this, just do what they tell you to do. You're going to be successful.
I agree. Absolutely. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Carol Mercurio, and she talks about a subject that we talk frequently on the show, which is following the franchise system. She gives a lot of great other advice in addition to aspiring entrepreneurs, but I just thought her advice was fantastic. So here we go with Carol Mercurio, franchise consultant.
Things to different people.
Right.
You know, there are people that could be very happy making $40,000-$50,000 a year, and there's others that would just never tolerate that. So you have to pick the right opportunity. It's going to meet not just your personal goals, but your income potential as well.
You have to like what you're doing, and most of the time that'll turn into making more money. So.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, the truth is that franchising really isn't for everyone. You know, it's, you know, Michael Gerber, you know, one of your guests who is one of my heroes, so to speak.
Right.
I love his book. I recommend his book all the time.
Yeah.
And as he says, you know, there's a difference between an entrepreneur and what he calls a technician.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, and we'll go into that if you want to move forward in the
sure,
slides.
Absolutely. We'll go to the next slide. And that's slide four, Carol says, that's all great, but...
Do you have what it takes? And,
right.
and that's really what this presentation will help people do. When I do this presentation live, it takes about 2 hours, and... You know, there are people at the end of the presentation will run to the front door and can't get out fast enough. They're scared to death. Or you have those folks that just linger on because they really want to learn more and educate themselves to see if this is the right fit for them. But there's a lot to figure out, you know, before you actually can pull the trigger and make that decision. And as you mentioned just previously, the due diligence is imperative. You know, you have to do a good job of figuring that out. You know, is it the right connection personally, and are you connecting with a company that you feel is a comfortable marriage between the two of you?
Absolutely. Right.
And so that's what we're going to do, is help determine if this is, in fact, the right path to explore. And then we can move on to motivation.
Okay.
And, you know, if you know, for me, I think motivation is really, really this, don't do it. If somebody tells you you should do it for a variety of different reasons, but it's not your own passion,
right,
you probably won't do well at it. And, you know, there's two different types of motivation. There's positive motivation and there's negative motivation. So you have to think of it, is it an inspiration? Are you inspired to do this or are you desperate to do this? There's a big difference here.
Absolutely.
Are you, you know, running from something or you're running towards something?
Right, right.
And, you know, for me, I work with a lot of folks that have been downsized and they're in transition in life, and I certainly can relate to it. But they may go to looking at a business because they can't find a job. Or maybe lesser positions are offered to them, less money, less title, or maybe their severance is about to end and they need to make some decision quickly. Bad choice.
Right.
It's not a good reason to buy a business. That's
like a last resort type of decision. So you can quickly determine part of your services is finding out that motivation level pretty early on.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I won't move forward in our consultation until that candidate can tell me what their reason is.
Right.
And it's not just because, you know, I want control over my destiny. Who doesn't? You know, everybody does.
That's true.
They want to make more money. Who wouldn't?
Right, absolutely.
You know, it has to go layers deeper than that, or as I look at it, you know, having a burning desire, or I'll add to that a little pain. You know, if you can't relate to the pain, then there's no reward at the end.
Absolutely.
And going into business for yourself can be painful. You know, with franchising, of course, it's a little bit easier because you have all the support, but it's still you're starting a business from scratch.
That's
and you have to
like
really want it.
About. Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. We always talk about that. That there's no guarantee of success, but if you follow the system, work hard, look at the stats we just went over. I mean, the failure rate's so low. And then with getting the right consultation from someone like yourself, and you should be okay.
Well, and it's true. And, you know, the systems that are in place with franchising are the major reasons why people gravitate to franchising. But if you're not the personality to follow a system, and you're more of that entrepreneur, as Michael Gerber would say,
right,
the best way to describe it is you can't paint the golden arches green.
Right, right.
You know, it just won't work. Absolutely. Either you follow the system and you'll be successful or not. But most importantly, there has to be a motivation. And everyone's motivation is different. You know, the way I help people see things is if you look down the road, say, the next 3-5 years from today, how do you see your life being different, if at all?
Right.
You know, what do you want to accomplish? You know, and for some people, it might be doing things that they've just missed doing, like having the freedom to play golf or, you know, having the money to buy a boat and taking their family on it and being with their family and having that quality time that they just don't have in their current world.
That's interesting.
So you consider that positive motivation because that's the whole big picture of success in business, working hard and then having all that personal stuff on the side.
Oh, yeah. What's the end result look like? You know, what is it that you want to accomplish by being in business for yourself? I mean, what is your burning desire? Where is the pain now? I mean, if you look at your current situation today, you know, I'll have people that I'm working with that are making, you know, well over six-figure incomes, and they...
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years and 300 shows under our belt, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from franchise expert Joel Labava, and Joel has the distinction of being one of two guests in the 6 years we've been hosting the show, of appearing on the show three times, so you know how fans we are of Joel. He recently wrote a book called Become a Franchise Owner, which is a must-read in franchising. And today Joel's going to talk about unpeeling the onion and getting to the core and the importance of franchisees being able to do it their way. So listen to what Joel said. I thought it was quite fascinating.
Franchise pro like yourself on, it's only going to help people who are listening. The more information, the better.
Boy, that's true.
Let me ask you this, Joel, this question we like to ask our guests on the show. What types of characteristics do you think make a successful franchisee?
Well, the obvious one is, and that's why I don't meet everybody that is referred to me or that finds me. robot, but one has to say, look, I have to put my ego aside. This is their idea. The cost of entry is the franchise fee up front, and the continuing cost is royalty stream, royalty income.
Right.
And you know what? And I'm pretty blunt when I do my seminars. Guess what, guys and gals? It wasn't your idea.
Right,
so
right.
You get to pay the folks that it's their idea, but maybe they can help you get where you want to go. So I look for people that get it and that I feel are going to follow a system.
That's interesting.
And I guess you could tell pretty quickly who has that right attitude and passion.
Within a couple minutes.
Right.
Just on the phone, I can tell.
Right.
So I'm careful who I meet with, because I don't want to you know, meet with people just because they have a nice net worth, just because they say they want to get into business. I like to go deeper than that. I really want to, you know, unpeel that onion, and let's find out if this is the right fit. You know, some folks will meet anyone. I'm not like that.
Right, right.
You know, especially since most of the folks I help are around here. I really have skin in the game. I'm very well known in the Cleveland area. I don't want to try to help people get into business that are going to set themselves up for failure.
Right.
Interesting.
You know, it's wrong.
Right.
So I'd rather meet less people that really understand what they're getting into, rather than a volume of people that, you know, may get lucky and be successful. That's not how I do business.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. Which podcast you get to hear? A great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now almost 6 years, if you can imagine, and it's amazing to see how far the show's come. You know, we frequently joke around that, you know, when we started the show, we started off with about 5 listeners. I think it was my mom, Don's wife, my wife, and a couple of, you know, friends and family, and that was it. And, you know, to date, we're over 4,000 listeners on a monthly basis between our radio show and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising, and, of course, our website, Franchise Interviews. So we've never done this before, but want to thank everyone for making this show such a tremendous success. During that time, 6 years of doing the show, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. And if you're a frequent listener to the show, you know what fans Don and I are of the legendary Michael Gerber. And you could take any clip or any segment from an interview we've done with Michael, and it's probably noteworthy of being in the Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. But this, I have to say, is certainly one of my favorites. And I've shared this with my students since I've heard this great quote. So here we go with the legendary Michael Gerber.
Essential to creating something, a company that works better than any other.
It's really like, Michael, you're having people, you know, stretch their imagination and to dream even bigger than what they were previously doing.
Absolutely.
And make it constructive, of course.
Yeah, because I'm actually saying that people don't fail because they dream too big. People fail because they dream too small. People fail because they don't rise above where their experience would lead them. People fail because they don't truly begin to dare to imagine something that they've never actually imagined before. And as I bring people into the dreaming room, as people participate with me, they begin to experience something they have never experienced, or if they had experienced, they'd experienced it years ago, but in some way lost the ability to dream. So it's a remarkable thing. I never would have told you I'd be doing it, but in fact, I see it as the absolutely essential piece to anybody who wants to do anything, let alone buy a franchise. The beginning of that process is to dream.
You know, it's really like an awakening. I mean, in life, there's just so much that can just, you know, I guess sort of beat you down a little bit. You know, life's not easy, and there's work, and there's family, and I guess over time that, maybe you just don't have the time or just forget about something simple like dreaming. So you're really just reintroducing it to people, you know, kind of waking them up again, so to speak.
Well, I'm reintroducing the question, what in the hell am I here for?
Right.
What is my life? And time goes on for all of us, and it's tick, tock, tick, tock, and time goes on, and I simply become immersed in all of the doing it, doing it, doing it that I've committed myself to. And And I never stopped to really ask, is this really what I want? Is this really what I want to do? Is this really the entire purpose of my life? Is this really going to give me the experience that I truly am hungry for, the joy that I truly am missing right now? What in the world am I doing with myself? And I'm simply suggesting, without asking that question in a very, very provocative way, people miss the most extraordinary opportunities that they will never see until they begin to ask the question, then who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? And these questions begin to provoke some very, very serious introspection. And that's critical for anybody who is, as you say, sitting there about to think about going off on their own, about buying a business, about buying a franchise, or about creating a business of their own. Critical, critical, critical. And nobody's talking about it.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. So it's a critical element to entrepreneurial success, Michael. All this dreaming, I think you mentioned in the manuscript, it gives you fuel to stay up late and get up early in the morning.
That's where the juice comes from.
Absolutely.
I mean, can you imagine Michael Dell creating Dell Computer? I mean, you think about that. He was a college student who began to diddle with this idea, the idea, the big idea, the great result, and he created this stunning company, this extraordinary company that does what it does in a way that nobody else imagined it could be done, taking a commodity, a computer, and turning it into a product, a true invention. The way in which Dell provides customized computers in a standardized process. Customized, standardized, an extraordinary idea that rules the world today. And yet you don't hear that expression in most places. And certainly you don't hear it in franchising. Customized, standardized. How do you do that? Well, that requires entrepreneurial imagination and verve. And that's what creates absolutely stunning companies. So if you're going to do that, you might as well do something in the business you're about to create that truly transforms the lives of the people who buy from you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Sean Folk, who is a military veteran who's done very well in franchising. And Sean's going to give some great advice to perhaps some other military veterans who are looking to go into their own franchise. So here we go. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Lawrence Doc Cohen, who is a veteran of the franchise industry, who first franchised Great American Cookies 33 years ago. He became the first ever franchisee inducted into the International Franchise Association Hall of Fame, and you're going to get to hear from him right now.
I like it. Let's do it.
What was it that made you decide to go into franchising, Doc? I mean, again, you had, you know, a couple different choices, I guess, at that time of your life. What was it about, you know, becoming a franchisee?
I had been part of other startups, and I knew just how difficult it was to begin a concept. So let's just say I wanted to be Doc's Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I could have done that. I could have said, all right, well, now I've got to develop a recipe. I've got to do my marketing program. I've got to get the financing. I've got to do an operations
Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Franchise Interviews has been hosting Franchise Interviews for almost 6 years now and almost 300 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Art Cole, who is the president of Alpha Graphics, and Art has a wonderful quote. He says that franchising is one of the greatest inventions for small business, and he kind of expands why, so here we go.
Fantastic program. I mean, when I saw it, I thought this was very exciting for you guys, you know, and it's so obviously it's going to be interesting to watch it. I mean, it sounds like your franchise partners are certainly going to appreciate something like this, and I guess that's the benefit of getting into franchising as well, isn't it, Art? You know, is to, you know, to have a program like this, you know, a very strong program that the franchisees can really benefit from.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Marty, you said something earlier, and I was saying earlier about, you know, that nearly 10 years of restaurant ownership, there were months, Marty, you were not a franchise, there were months, Marty, where I begged for somebody to send a royalty check to, because I thought that if somebody could bring me some turnkey marketing programs, if somebody could bring me some training, some things that were already ready to go for the employees, and how to hire them, and who's the right person, how to recruit them, if somebody could bring me a process for, creating more traffic at my restaurant, or operational workflow and checklist, Marty, I believe, you know, and I've had people, you know, great people like, you know, Bud Hatfield, and I can go down the list of the names of people that have, that, you know, are in my cell phone that I can call anytime. I mean, John Luther over at Dunkin' Brands and John Venus and Ron at Mailboxes, et cetera. I mean, all those names, I think they're pretty good. I'm honored to be on your show today, just knowing those guys.
Thank you.
People like that are people that you've interviewed. But,
yes.
You know, franchising, I believe, is the greatest invention for small business ownership.
Yeah.
Because franchising doesn't change the fact that you're still a small business owner.
Exactly.
All franchising should do, and my job as president of Alpha Graphics, is to take people who have decided they want to be a small business owner and they want to do it in this arena of providing visual communication solutions, whether that's a document solution or marketing solution. But my job as president of Alpha Graphics is just simply to take the hurdles that may be 6 feet high. If you're out there on your own trying to do it yourself, let's take them down to 6 inches. The hurdles get down there. You're 7.5 employees. You're 6 operational issues. You still need to have somebody who's going to deal with your financials and your business. And I think sometimes prospective franchisees forget that.
Yes.
They forget that they're still, they may possibly think the franchisor is going to take those problems away. And there are some that we do remove off the table, but for the most part, they're all still there. We just have systems and approach and coaching and support to help you manage them. That they have a little speed bump in the road, in the road instead of a, you know, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 5 years and almost 300 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, we're actually going to go back to the most very basic elements of franchising. In fact, we're going to go back 5 years ago to our very first show we did with PB Loco, where Don and I get into the defining the word franchise. And we use references like the great Dave Thomas. So I think you'll enjoy this edition.
You know, the criteria they filled out, what they'd be comfortable in. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think probably another good place to start, Don, is to, you know, define the word franchise, you know, because a lot of times when I ask my business students for the definition of a franchise, their response is typically the same. You know, they'll say to me McDonald's or Subway or Quiznos. And, you know, yesterday before the show, you know, I looked up the word franchise in the Oxford Dictionary, and it defines a franchise as follows. It says, an authorization granted by a company to sell its goods or services in a particular way. And, you know, that's a good definition, but it doesn't really help an aspiring entrepreneur understand what franchising really is. And I know you had a good definition we were speaking about from the book Franchising for Dummies, which I think is written by the great Dave Thomas, who's gone on to, you know, bigger and better things.
Right. Right.
I don't know if you
CEO
have that.
CEO of Wendy's. Yeah, I do have that.
You do.
Book written by him and Michael Side.
That's right.
Michael H. Side and Associates. I thought it was a, you know, really great definition. It's a little lengthy, but I think it really sums it up, the definition of what is a franchise.
Right.
And it basically says franchising is a system for expanding a business and distributing goods and services and an opportunity to operate a business under a recognized brand name.
Good.
For example, Wendy's doesn't franchise hamburgers.
Right.
And Midas, the muffler franchise, they don't franchise car mufflers.
Right.
They franchise business systems that deliver hamburgers and mufflers to customers with consistency of the products and services and also the customer experience. It says a franchise occurs when a business, which is called the franchisor, the franchise corporate office is called the franchisor.
Okay.
They license its trade name, which is the brand, such as Wendy's or Midas, and its operating methods, which is a system or their system of doing business, to a person or group. The person investing in the franchise is called the franchisee.
Okay.
So I think that's important to bring out somebody's terms because,
absolutely,
you know, the franchisee is going to be the owner of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The franchisor is the, you know, is the Wendy's or the Midas.
Right.
The franchisee, by buying into the franchise system, they agree to operate according to the terms of the contract. That's called the franchise agreement.
Okay.
The franchisor provides the franchisee with support and in some cases exercises some control over the way the franchisee operates under the brand.
Okay.
So that's what we mean before about the pros and cons. You know, you're in business for yourself. You have a much higher chance of success, but you're under the...
But you're not by yourself, as you say. You know,
right.
Your franchising is, you know, being in business for yourself, but not by yourself. It, you know, one of the words that you said in that definition, Don, which, by the way, I mean, I think is probably the best definition I've seen, you know, since being involved in franchising, is the most important word is system. And what do we mean by system is kind of like a method of doing things so you get the same result every single time.
Right.
And the analogy that I typically give, Don, is that, you know, the franchisor is the teacher and the franchisee is the student. And it's very important that the student, who is the franchisee, trust as well as listen to the teacher, or the, who in this case is the franchisor. And they also must be willing to totally follow the system and not try to reinvent the wheel. Otherwise,
it's already a proven system and
absolutely
concept. That's why they're buying into it, paying a franchise fee, paying royalties. It's already a
successful
proven system. That's why they're investing in a franchise, much lower failure rate. But you're right. Yeah, the keyword system is very important here because someone doesn't have to go into and set up all this marketing and all these different things involved with starting up a business on their own. It's already been done. I mean, it's already done for you. You just have to follow the system, and if you,
right,
if you do that, you're going to be successful in most cases.
Absolutely, and I think that's what can make it difficult for some entrepreneurs, Don, is because, you know, some people are so entrepreneurial that they don't have the ability to follow a system. You know, it's kind of like, the example I give is, you know, you buy a McDonald's franchise and you say, you know what, I think that this cheeseburger is going to taste better with four pickles and a little more mustard, you know, and you just start trying to reinvent all these different things. It's not necessary with franchising. You have to be willing to totally follow that system. Otherwise, it's not for you. And that's why franchising isn't for everyone. And that's, you know, franchisors certainly don't want somebody coming into their system and trying to reinvent things. You know, you don't have to do that.
Right. It's a good point. I speak to franchisors all the time, necessarily don't want to recruit or find an investor who's had a background in their industry to invest in them because
absolutely
they might want to do things their way. If things start off a little slow, they want people coming in fresh who can be trained, learn their system, and do things exactly what's been successful with their other franchise owners. So
I agree. I agree. You know, another example I give, Don, is I call it the entrepreneurial scale, where, you know, I would ask somebody, I'd say, you know, how entrepreneurial are you on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, 1 being low and 10 being the highest. You know, and if somebody said to me that they're a 9 or a 10, I think I would push that person away from franchising, you know, because, again, these are typically people who are just so entrepreneurial that, you know, their mind is always going and they just want to reinvent things over and over. And, you know, so those people should not go into franchising, you know. So
right.
It's very interesting points, you know.
Yeah, and just one last part to finish up the definition of what is a franchise.
Good.
I mentioned it before, but for people not really familiar with the franchise concept, it says for all this service the franchisor will give. It says, in exchange, the franchisee usually pays the franchise or an initial fee called a franchise fee.
Right.
And then a continuing ongoing fee. I mentioned a word before. That's called a royalty. You know, usually could range in the 2 to 5% range. It includes advertising and everything, but the franchisee will pay a royalty. And it's basically for the use of the trade name and all the operating methods and system that we're talking about. So I think that's a great definition of, you know, the word franchise. It really just sums it all up in just a few paragraphs.
Absolutely.
You know, and as weeks go on, we're going to be using these words a lot.
Absolutely.
Franchisee, franchisor. So that's why we think it's important to kind of just throw these terms out in the first show just to people understand it.
I agree. We have, you know, some of those definitions actually posted on our show page for World Talk Radio too, Don. But
so thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for about a year and a half, and in that time we've gotten to interview some fantastic authors on the topic of franchising. One of my favorite books is The Franchise Times Guide to Selecting, Buying, and Owning a Franchise. It's a must-read in franchising, and that book is by Julie Bennett. And we had Julie on the show, it was about 3 to 4 months ago. She had some fantastic quotes on the topic of franchising. She spoke about the importance of following a system. She gave a great example of that. She even got into the characteristics of successful franchisees. So listen to what Julie said.
And as for the system, there's a great story from Becky Porkjohn in the book. She's an Express Personnel franchisee in Dayton, Ohio. And she says, follow the system. If the procedures manual said to write all reports with my left hand in red ink on Monday through Wednesday, and with my right hand in black ink on Thursday and Friday, I'd do it. I will follow everything because it works.
That's very powerful. I mean, that really describes franchising in a nutshell, Julie.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That kind of reminded me, Marty, of that. Who was the client we had on? You know,
Liberty Tax. We had one of Liberty Tax's most successful franchisees on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said the same thing. He said he wasn't a creative person. You know, all he wanted to do was just, you know, follow the system.
Right.
And that's why he became one of the most successful franchisees for Liberty Tax. That's all he did. He said, all I did was what they told me to do, and I achieved this great success, you know.
Yeah, you know, with the attitude, his whole attitude was like, just tell me what I have to do, kind of like what you were just bringing up with that particular story, Julie, and that was his whole attitude. Tell me what to do, I'll do it, I'll work hard, and he's, you know, doing quite well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, it's often, if you talk to a franchisor and say, why did that franchisee fail, he'll always say, well, he didn't follow the system.
Absolutely.
Which that may or may not be true.
Right, absolutely. Julie, what types of characteristics do you think make successful franchisees?
Well, you were talking about one of the big ones, which is being hardworking.
Right.
And I think that's very important. You have to be enthusiastic about the business. You have to create an excitement before the business opens.
I agree.
You have to go through your community, tell them you're opening up, and get them in there the first day.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to hire, discipline, and motivate employees. There are personality tests that franchisors give franchisee candidates.
Right.
And when I took all three, I flunked them.
<Isn't that> something?
on this very point, because they said I'd be too empathetic to my franchisee, my employees.
Right.
And they'd walk all over me.
That's
a very important point. You have to have good communication skills. You have to be talking up your franchise all the time.
Right.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Sure.
And I'll go back to Becky Porkjohn, who said that she had an angry client call her up and say, that young lady you sent over here to work is painting her toenails. at our reception desk. And Becky didn't miss a beat. She said, "What color?"
That's great, isn't it?
Isn't that perfect?
That's
you
fantastic.
Have to roll with the punches.
Absolutely. That's great.
And also, as you said before, you have to be well capitalized.
Sure.
So many franchises have to close in that first year because they don't have the money to keep going.
True.
Yeah, I come across that every day as we're pre-qualifying people for financing, Julie. And you know, a lot of times we're trying to tell people to sometimes not fund the whole business themselves. They'll never be as strong a borrower as they are now. Kind of leverage yourself, get that working capital, which is a nice part of getting a loan. So you have that first 3 to 6 months of expenses paid for, but that happens a lot. People don't want to get a business loan. They finance it themselves, and 6 months later, they're looking around for money. And
Right. Don't drain your house of home equity now.
Right. I love that quote from Becky Porchon that Julie referenced on the importance of following a system. So again, thanks for listening to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. And once again, we'd love to hear your thoughts as we now enter the world of podcasting. So again, thanks, and we'll see you again soon. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 5 years, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today you're going to get to hear from one of the authors of Street Smart Franchising, Joe Matthews, and this truly is a must-read before buying a franchise. And Joe's going to talk about the four key ingredients of the most successful franchisees, and he calls it the cash model of success. Listen to what he says. It's really quite fascinating.
Habits should always be changing, basically, because business
evolving, right?
Yeah, it depends on the business model. Some business models, there isn't a whole heck of a lot of change. Franchisors, a lot of them are fairly low-tech. Like the sponsor of this business is, Molly Maids, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the technology are vacuums.
There you go.
There you want them to get into a rhythm and just do the same thing over and over and over again and beat it into the dirt.
Exactly.
I'll
maybe talking more about the marketing and advertising, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so there are aspects of the business that need to change, but typically franchise businesses are fairly low-tech, rhythm-type businesses. Like once you got the winning formula,
right.
You just beat it into the dirt. You wake up, you execute it, you wake up the next day, you execute it again.
Right, that's why people pay the royalty.
Change.
Right. That's why people pay the royalty fee. They're buying into the system. It's already there. It's already a winning formula.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 5 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from franchise consultant and a previous franchisee, Tom Scarta. And Tom has a bunch of wonderful quotes, but he mentions to buy based on what's good for you and not what's good for the neighborhood. I mean, how often have so many of us, we're driving and you say, God, that would be a great place for Papa John's or a Subway. And, that's not really a good reason to get into franchising, where I suspect some people do. So listen to what Tom has to say as far as his advice to prospective franchisees. I thought he did a great job. Here we go.
I think it's real interesting, Tom, and what you're doing now, and you went through the whole process yourself, so I guess that's why you're having success now with FranChoice, because you saw it, worked for yourself. The failure was not an option, I mean, you must have had, just starting up a new business, it was your first time owning a business when you start up the Maui Wowie, right?
That's correct, yes.
So what was going through your, thought process then? I guess you were just... You had some peace of mind knowing you were working with a specialist in franchising, which gave you some confidence, and starting up a business maybe wasn't as nervous to you because of that. Is that the whole mindset going in, Tom?
Yeah, and it's a coincidence. I don't know if one of your former interviewees, Carol Mercurio, who I think was actually my consultant back in 2000.
Oh, wow.
She's great.
Yeah, she's very, very cool. She helped me out greatly in this process. And said, really, really set me up to have my mindset in the right frame of mind, I guess. And we, dove into the investigation process, but also the franchise company was very helpful. They were very forthcoming with their information, really told us what it was going to be all about, and said to us, this is not signing a franchise agreement and then becoming a millionaire. Like a lot of people join a gym, they think just by signing the gym agreement they're going to lose weight. You gotta go to the gym.
She's very good in getting that information across to you. She probably taught you a few new things about yourself you didn't know because of her analysis and depth that your company goes into when you're speaking to a prospect, right?
Exactly. It was a soul searching experience. I use that phrase every day. I experienced it myself, and now I take my candidates through that same soul-searching experience where a lot of people say, I love donuts. Let me open up a donut franchise. That's just a silly thing to do. That's not a good business decision. Or somebody will say, there is no whatever in my neighborhood, so I think I should open one. And you should be buying a franchise based on what's good for you, not for the neighborhood.
Right.
True.
Let me talk about... Tom, what types of characteristics you think make a good franchisee? I mean, you go through that whole process. You probably know pretty quickly whether someone's a pretty good match or not. But what are some of the top characteristics that make people successful?
Well, there are two very delineating points. Either you're an extrovert or an introvert. And just because you're an introvert doesn't mean that you're not a good franchisee. It just means that you may not want to be the kind of guy who's out drumming up your own business, and you might want something where it's more back office for you. So...
Right.
First, we kind of figure that out. But you have to have a lot of self-confidence. You have to be able to know that you can be a success. And people don't realize, even if they're 30, great people running, you know, great civil service systems, or what have you. But you know, for me personally, I could just speak from personal experience. I was successful in transit. I moved very quickly up the line, but then realized that, you know, when I looked at the vice president and the president of transit, they weren't living in the houses I wanted to live in or driving the cars I wanted to drive, but business owners were. So if you got that drive, you can do it. And of course, that's not for everybody. People are sometimes fine with a very simple lifestyle, and that's great. But I think you need to have the drive, and more than that, you need to have the vision, and you need to be a goal setter. You need to know what your goals are.
That's a good point, knowing what the goal is. That's all just...
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 5 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from franchise attorney Nancy Lenard, and I should emphasize the word franchise attorney. Picture this. Your cousin Joe just graduates from law school, and he specialized in corporate law or civil law, and you say, you know what, I'm going to buy a franchise, and I'm going to use my cousin Joe as my franchise attorney. Well, believe it or not, it happens all the time, and not a good idea. One of the things that Don and I, if you've listened to our show starting from 4 years ago to current moments, you'll see one of the main themes of the show is that we emphasize to get a franchise attorney. Very, very important. Nancy is very, very knowledgeable. We've had her on the show 2 times up to this point, and she always offers us some great advice. Today she's going to be talking a little bit about leasing, and of course she's going to emphasize the importance of hiring a franchise attorney. And here we go with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising with Nancy Lenard. Enjoy.
One of the smartest things you can do.
And not just any attorney, a franchise attorney, because another type of attorney isn't going to understand that what types of changes can and can't be made. This is a very unique type of document. It isn't like a lease, for example, which is a heavily negotiable document. We negotiate practically every sentence in a lease when we get it. But a franchise agreement is very different. A material change to the franchise agreement can mean that they have to change their disclosure document. So we know what can and can't be negotiated, what is a critical change, what is a critical thing to change,
right?
And what is necessary to protect our clients.
Right. It's such a big investment in a franchise. Why not make the additional investment to have total peace of mind, just make sure everything you're doing is correct.
Yeah, and if the franchisee is taking an SBA loan or some other type of financing, just include those fees. That's why we do it at a flat fee, so that people can anticipate what their costs are going to be up front.
Right.
And just include that in the financing that they're going to be getting.
Right. Good. So I guess changing gears a little bit, Nancy, let's talk about I guess also your specialty in reviewing a lease. What are some legal concerns for franchisees in leasing commercial space?
Those are huge because, as I just said, the leases are extraordinarily negotiable documents, and everything in a lease is basically negotiable and negotiated. Because we do so many leases, and last year we did probably over 100 retail shopping center and mall leases. Because we have certain franchise systems that we work with, and we are their recommended and authorized law firm for handling the leases for their franchisees.
Yeah.
So we just do, plus we do it as, obviously,
you know, a major expense, of course. So just not what the monthly, you know, rent or lease is going to be, but yeah, all those additional things can all add up in a hurry. So.
No question. And even things such as what are included in taxes. You know, that the rental income should not be part of the taxes that are passed through to the tenant, because most leases are what's known as triple net leases, which means that all expenses of the landlord are basically passed through. But we are very careful on what kinds of things should not be passed through. From a practical end, defining what the landlord's responsible for repairing and maintaining and what the tenant's responsible for needs to be very clearly spelled out in the lease, and often is not. The landlord should be responsible for structural repairs, but even what is defined as structural is critical to clarify. For example, if you have pipes that come from another space into your space, is that your responsibility or the landlord's responsibility? Who shares in that if there's a problem with that? So if it says that plumbing on the interior is your responsibility, what happens to those pipes? So those have to be addressed. Tenant is typically responsible for interior repairs and maintenance, for the plate glass, for non-structural repairs, and for the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, Reese podcast you get to hear, a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and slowly approaching 250 shows, if you can imagine. And during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from a king. And how often do you get to hear from a king? We'd be speaking to the franchise king, Joel LaBava. And we had Joel on our show 2 times in the last 4 years. And he really is probably one of the most knowledgeable people on the topic of franchising. Of course, Joel gave his opinion on as far as like what to do once you get the FDD, the importance of first impressions. So listen to what Joel had to say. I think you'll be very interested.
Worked with hundreds of people in the past several years, and the ones that have followed the process the right way and decided to get into franchising are definitely more prepared than folks that are just going to go out and buy Subway or something. Nothing wrong with Subway, but to go out and buy a Subway just because they think it's popular, you know, they don't do the research. The research is the key.
Sure, absolutely. And I think most people, Joel, you know, not to be condescending to our listeners, but I think they simply just don't know how to research. Shows exactly like in a step-by-step process how to do all that, you know, just so important, the research process.
It's
intimidating. I mean,
it's
a whole life-changing, it's a big investment, or it could be, and then you're getting all this information, you know, someone needs that coach, that person, that consultant to help them, so they get they call up a franchise, the FDD gets delivered to them, you know, what do you suggest that they do from there, Joel?
Well, they're going to get they'll reach out to the franchisor, and the franchisor hopefully will follow up within a day, and they'll get a packet in the mail, and the franchisor will ask them nicely to look it over, and then to schedule a conference call. And that first conference call, I think, is one of the most important parts of the whole process. The franchisor isn't really doing any selling at that point. They're
Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. Reese podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for almost 2 years, and in that time frame, we've had some fantastic quotes on the topic of franchising. Today, you're going to get to hear from Gary Okigrasso of the Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill franchise concept. And Gary answers the question, what is the best franchise? It's a common question that Don, myself, and Gary have received over the last decade, and I thought Gary's response was fantastic. He also talked about the three-legged stool of a successful franchise. His answer was brilliant. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Each week you get to hear interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Gary Okigrasso of the Desert Moon Franchise Concept.
I'm running the business as long as I have the passion and the work ethic, really.
And, you know, that's a great point. I do several seminars a year on the topic of franchising, and I don't think that there isn't a meeting that goes by that someone in the audience doesn't raise their hand and ask me what I think, quote, the best franchise is.
I get that all the time, you know, myself, Gary, being in financing, people always ask me.
Same here.
Yeah, and, you know, first of all, ultimately that's a money question, and I'm one of those folks who believe if you chase money, you won't get any. You know, my response over the years has always been the same. It's not about, quote, the best franchise. It's about, really, what is the best franchise for you? What's
right.
Your passion? What do you love to do? What are you good at? Because, again, you know, quoting Michael Gerber, once you get past that infancy stage where you are the technician, or as we say in our business, the chief cook and bottle wash, you then need to expand your business by getting started on the work of an entrepreneur and bringing the technicians and the managers in to work with you on your business. So to simply ask what's the best franchise is to simply say what's the best automobile. I guess the issue is what's the criterion? What are you looking for? What are you good at? What's your background? And most importantly, what are you passionate about? If you're not passionate about building a business, then chances are you'll get exactly what you may be passionate or not passionate about. And in the case of a lack of passion, that would be nothing.
When people ask that to me, Gary, I say there's thousands of franchises. How the heck do I know?
There you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very, for experienced franchisees, and I think you alluded earlier in the top of the show regarding some of the work that my friend Dan Rowe at FranSmart is doing. You know, there are experienced franchisees, certainly the type that Desert Moon is seeking, who have background in the food industry, who understand the business model of franchising, have an organization, and they take a system like Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill, and they plug it into their already existing system. And that's one type of franchisee. And then you have another type of franchisee who was the first-time business owner, the entrepreneur, the person who is dreaming of operating their own business and developing a business, whose approach is extremely different. Their approach is much more from a technical aspect, much more local in the beginning. Many of them work, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. Essentially, they buy themselves a job. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because in the beginning, for the first-time business owner, if they're involved in a business that they're unfamiliar with, that's a great way to learn the business, and then they develop from there. So there are different types of franchisees, as well as different types of franchise companies and business models. So I'm convinced there's a good fit for everyone and anyone out there who wants to pursue the use of franchising as a development tool for themselves, either as a franchisee or a small business owner that wants to duplicate their business but doesn't want to open up a bunch of company stores. They want to use franchising as a tool. There are plenty of opportunities out there.
It sounds like Desert Moon will go in either direction, and getting a new franchisee, either that already existing business owner experience or the first-time owner, right?
Absolutely. We obviously are cautious about who we bring in as franchisees. If you look at the what I refer to as the three-legged stool of a successful franchise operation, the three legs are the concept, the operator, and the location. The first piece, the concept, I'm confident regarding Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill because we're a 16, 17-year-old company with a long operating history of success.
Right.
Location is something that is always up for grabs with potential franchisees because it's elusive in the sense that you need to understand what makes your operation work. So locations look different to different types of operation. But the other piece, the operator, who is the franchisee, that's key. Even in a great location with a great concept, the wrong franchisee could fail. Because the franchisee is the pulse, is the heart of the business. The concept may be the brains, the location may be the legs, if you will, how it stands, but the franchisee is the heart of the business. And what the franchisee takes to the business really will set the tone.
That's interesting.
So we're very careful about franchisees, whether they're experienced or first-time business owners.
That's interesting. What do you look for in a...
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, brought to you by Franchise Interviews. Take care.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being sponsored by the guys at Diamond Financial Services. And if you're looking to finance your franchise, just simply click the sponsorship button below of Diamond Financial, and you'll get some great information. Today's podcast comes from Jim Cohen, who is the founder of Franchise Perfection. Jim had a great quote. He had actually a bunch of great quotes when we had him on the show. He's been involved in franchising almost 25 years now. He said most people know what they like, but they don't necessarily know what would be the best franchise opportunity for them. In other words, we've referenced this on the show before, you know, there's many people that like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'm a big fan of Dunkin' Donuts, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'd make a great franchisee. You know, and the same thing applies to Subway or McDonald's or whatever that may be. So listen to what Jim had to say. I thought he gave some great advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise.
Fits in with your particular situation and what your desires are.
Interesting.
Then you have kind of a recipe for success.
Right. Do you find a lot of people really don't know what they want, Jim, or like they think they have an idea, like they say to you, they approach you and say, you know, I want to buy a Dunkin' Donuts, and the only reason they want to buy a Dunkin' Donuts is because they like the coffee or the donuts, but do you get a lot of that where people really don't know what match they'd be appropriate for?
Yeah, no, great point. I mean, most people know what they like.
Right.
But they don't necessarily know what would be a good business. And they say to you, know, I hear all kinds of things. I mean, one of the things I hear all the time is, I don't care, I just want to make some money.
Right.
You hear that, and then you hear other things is, you know, I really want to do something special. I want to help people.
Right.
Or I want to use my expertise or my skills and you know, get into involved in a business that's going to make me feel great about myself. So everybody has different sort of goals and aspirations or visions of how they see themselves in a business opportunity.
Right.
And what I try to do is identify the key elements of what's important to them and the key elements of their particular situation, and then match them up with something that makes sense, or at least has some of the key elements, and then they can investigate those opportunities. It's a process. It's not an event.
Right, absolutely. I have a lot of people say to you, I've never even thought of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting. And, you know, I never thought of that again. And, you know, and then I start thinking about it, and then all these questions start happening. something. And the reality is that sometimes it takes a process of investigating a number of opportunities before you identify the opportunity that makes the most amount of sense for you. And one of the things I've learned over the years is the people who do investigate thoroughly are the ones that have the most control of their destiny, because they have the most amount of information and have answered the most amount of questions. So due diligence is a very important part of being successful as a franchisee.
Yeah, I would agree.
We've stressed that a lot on previous shows. Yeah,
that's
a good point, Jim.
Yeah, so and some people don't know the questions to ask, but they learn as they go through the process. And that's what I try to do, is coach them and find the questions. Because ultimately what matters is them getting involved in a business opportunity or a franchise opportunity that they feel really good about and that fits their particular set of circumstances. And financial is a very big one. You know, I want people to really have enough capital to be able to fund that business and enough backup capital to be able to support their family.
Interesting. Right. We know, Jim, that's what I do. So
right.
A lot of our loans are startups, and we're pre-qualifying people. People need to know where they stand, if they can get financing, always having that cash reserve money, working capital. Maybe a spouse is keeping and having some outside income coming in. So, that's my everyday life, going over that scenario with people.
Right. And that's an important aspect. And I know you guys were talking about the UFOC earlier. It's not necessarily one of the items in the UFOC is what kind of backup money do you have to support your family, or how are you going to support your family. It really talks about the business opportunity.
Right.
Not necessarily about the support of the family. And I've seen a lot of people get in trouble early because they don't have that backup. So I pretty much go through that process with them and make sure. I get a lot of calls of resales from franchise people who are in the business and are interested in possibly reselling the franchise. And the most common problem is that they run out of working capital.
Right.
And that's something that you just got to really consider, and I can't stress enough about how important that is. And I know, Don, you and I have talked about that's a critical important thing when coming up with that business plan to finance a business.
Right.
To make sure that there's enough to support that family over 6, 8, 12, 18 months it might take to...
Before profitability, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur, Jim, looking to buy a franchise? You've kind of mentioned a few things so far. I mean, what would you feel about the biggest main point is?
Know yourself. One of the things that I've learned is the willingness to work hard is obviously a must-have in order to succeed as a franchisee. Unfortunately, hard work is only part of the picture. Not everybody is suitable to even be a franchisee.
Right.
To me, franchisees represent the middle ground between employees and entrepreneurs. I call them franchrepreneurs.
I've never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah. So the vast majority of people, most successful as an employee. True entrepreneurs are few and far between. Those are the ones that are willing. They have a vision, and they're willing to take all-out risk.
Right.
And they don't really want to hear anybody else's opinion in most cases. They really see this, an entrepreneur, and they just really want to go for it. So they take out all-out risk. They put everything on the table. For entrepreneurs, are a little different. They want a tried and proven concept. And they're willing to follow established procedures to run that business.
Right.
I look at a franchisepreneur as one who's willing to accept a measured risk.
Right.
They do not want to reinvent the wheel. They want to go into a proven business model that allows them to bring their capital, their work, and their particular life experience into that model and make it successful. On a shorter runway.
That's a perfect match, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to starting out on their own.
Right.
That's too risky.
Exactly.
That requires too much learning curve and too much capital to have for that learning curve, because essentially a learning curve is mistake, success. Mistake,
right.
Success. So
right. The failure rate is so much higher with a non-franchise startup, obviously.
I thought that was great advice from Jim as far as when Don asked what advice would you also give to an aspiring entrepreneur. So once again, thanks for listening to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, and we'd love to hear your feedback on this particular podcast, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and slowly approaching that magic number 250. And during that time frame, you can imagine we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Last week, we did a Franchise Rewind with Tariq Fareed. And Tariq is the founder of the Edible Arrangements Franchise Opportunity. And if you're new to franchising, or if you just started your franchise search, this will really put things in perspective as far as what makes a successful franchisee. So we're going to call this one the Franchise Secret. Do whatever this guy says, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. So, again, enjoy this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
Okay, guys, from now on, whatever these guys say goes.
maybe sometimes a little too entrepreneurial. You know, I guess you really have to, you know, speak to them to let them know that, you know, it might not be a fit, you know, with your company.
We used to do, I remember in the beginning doing that a lot to let people know that, you know, I love your passion, I love your energy and everything, but you keep talking about your experiences and how you've done stuff. There may be a bit of a conflict there. We may always get into a bit of a tussle. So you have to look at this, that we have systems and standards, and we've experimented with these. We've actually mastered them, and we've proven them at multiple times. So you may want to turn around and try it a different way, but it's really not going to work. More, not necessarily only for yourself, but for the total success of the system, because there is consistency in everything, and we know what's going to work. So we have those conversations, but once you get to a certain number, a certain mass in your system, that comes up less and less. And I think there's a class of prospects or franchisees or new owners that start coming to you after a while to say, look, I want to duplicate what you've done. How do I do it? And they don't want to turn around and start from scratch. And that was great when we started to get a lot of existing franchise prospects, meaning they were in other systems, and when they came into our system, they found success very, very quickly because they had gone through those processes, and we gave them some tools that they did not have before, and they saw some benefits that they had not seen before or had already gone through the process where we didn't really need to explain, and they turned their stores around very, very quickly.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now for almost 2 years, 100 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes from the guests that have been on our show. If you're a frequent listener to our weekly radio show, then you know what fans Don and I are of the great Michael Gerber, author of the very successful E-Myth Revisited and Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. What's even more amazing is how often Michael's name has come up from our guests in the past 2 years. So you're going to hear from the great Michael Gerber in just a moment. And for the first time on Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is giving franchisors a unique opportunity to sponsor our weekly radio show. You can have a professionally recorded commercial run on our live as well as archive shows. And here's a quick message from our sponsor, and then again, the great Michael Gerber. Enjoy.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
By the way, I'm now reading again for the second time. I recommend everybody out there, it's been a while since they've read the E-Myth, to read it again. It's really a great little refresher because people seem to forget about things over time, Michael.
I've got guys, I swear, Don, who tell me they pull out the E-Myth Revisited every year. One gentleman I spoke to, the founder of an extraordinary company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, mm-hmm. who's a franchisor.
Right.
He credits the E-Myth with the creation of his company, and he credits the E-Myth with the continued vitalization of his company and the growth of his company. They now have a few more than 300 franchisees around the world. The guy is less than 40. He's the CEO of this company. He started by driving a truck, picking up junk, read the book, read the E-Myth Revisited, and suddenly saw the light And the product of that is a company which last year did $147 million in gross revenue and has the expectation of reaching $1 billion in revenue in the next 8 years. So the man's on path, and he takes the E-Myth out every year and reads it again and insists that every one of his management team reads the book. And in fact, I'm the keynote at his annual event in March. So I'll be in Vancouver addressing 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Right, right. The show we had last week, Michael, with the CEO and president of a franchise opportunity called Desert Moon, Gary Okigrasso, he spoke about you for like 10 minutes during the show. I mean, it's just amazing the impact that you've had in the franchise community. I mean, your name comes up every other show.
Thank you. And you know, I don't know 90% of these people, so I hear this guy says and this guy says and that guy. It's really quite extraordinary to me because I don't know these people.
Exactly. I can't imagine, you know, what kind of fuel you have. I mean, I don't know how you go to bed at night, Michael. I mean, changing the story you told about, you know, the young gentleman, you know, being depressed and stuff like that. I mean, the kind of fuel that you must get from that kind of situation must be incredible for you.
It is. It's absolutely extraordinary, and life is simply an array of infinite options, and they're continually showing up.
Absolutely.
They're constantly, constantly, constantly showing up. I can't imagine how anybody could feel limited or deprived of opportunity when there is so much more opportunity than any single one of us could possibly deal with. And I see it every single day in my mind. There's one, there's one, there's one. Why doesn't anybody do that? Why doesn't anybody do that? It's extraordinary when you begin to experience the entrepreneur within, and anybody, any single person on the face of this earth can experience it if they begin the process right. And that's what I'm committed to.
And the title is great, too, Michael, you know, how you added, in addition to how ordinary people create extraordinary companies without any experience to guide them. You were one of those people. I think you referenced Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell. I mean, all these guys really didn't have this significant experience in business. It was all based on a dream or their imagination.
Exactly. They had no experience in business. Bill Gates wasn't a business guy.
Right.
Bill Gates didn't work for a living. Bill Gates went to Harvard and then dropped out. Michael Dell didn't have any experience when he started his business. Nobody, no great entrepreneur, has necessarily had any business experience at all. They simply imagined a result that they saw was absolutely needed in the world, and then they invented the answer to that problem in a business. Well, anybody can do that.
Right.
And in the book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, I take you step by step by step through the golden process through which any company can be started from scratch in your garage. And I'm essentially saying, if your car is parked in your garage, move it out and start a business.
Exactly, absolutely.
And this book, top entrepreneurs are never satisfied. I mean, in chapter 3 of your book, I thought it was great. You talk about you woke up one day and you had nothing to do. Personally, I mean, that's my dream, to wake up one day and have nothing to do, but just for a day before I get back to business. But, you know, of course, yourself being a top entrepreneur, you just weren't satisfied with that. You know, you had to, you know, take that next step and do something great again, and that's what you did, obviously, with this book.
Yeah, well, and you got to understand, when I say I had nothing to do, I had everything to do, but I didn't have to do it.
Right.
In other words, I didn't have to go out and earn a living anymore.
True.
But I do. I didn't have to go out and speak anymore, but I do continuously. I didn't have to go out and write another book. My books are among the top 5 business books ever published in the world. E-Myth Revisited sells more books every year than it sold before.
Wow.
It's the most extraordinary phenomenon. So I didn't have to do anything. There's nothing that caused me to go out and create the Dreaming Room other than my fertile imagination. And I'm simply saying, what an extraordinary place to live in the imagination. Because one can begin to imagine a world unlike the world we live in, and then take it upon yourself to invent it. And that's all it is, inventing it. Everybody invents every single day of their life. The problem is most of us invent the past.
Mm-hmm. True.
I'm about inventing the future.
Right. And this book precedes the E-Myth, Michael, so I guess everybody who has read the E-Myth is going to have to read Awakening the Entrepreneur Within as well.
Your lips to God's ears.
There you go.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4.5 years and almost 250 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on the show. One of them that comes to mind is from Dan Rowe of FranSmart, and he had this wonderful quote that I've probably used on a couple hundred occasions up to this point, so you know where we get our ideas or our quotes. And he said that good location can overcome bad marketing. And I thought that was brilliant. The quote that you're going to hear now is coming from Ryan Cunningham, and he actually has a couple of them, but he talks about the importance of having a great location for a franchise. And he references a great study that came out, I think it was about in 2004, USA Today came out with a study on why franchises would fail. And I believe location was number 2 in the study. I think Ryan's going to talk about it in this particular podcast. So enjoy this podcast, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. See you soon.
The success that a franchisor has developed over time, and making that connection and helping the franchisee new to the system plug into all that value that's been determined of what makes a successful site.
That's a great service, Ryan. I know myself, being in the franchise financing business, working nationwide with all kinds of franchisees, many their first time opening a business, sometimes that's the toughest part of the whole process, what your service is. And sometimes I get delayed and having people send their applications, they're a little nervous about finding a site and location, or during the loan process, because we don't need to have the site for us to start packaging their loan. Sometimes it gets delayed.
You're right.
People can't find their site, or they think they have a location, it falls through. It's very frustrating for them.
We have closed about 180 sites since I started the company, and we have found that virtually every new franchisee that we're introduced to by our franchisor clients, all of them will say, Ryan, your job is easy. I already found the site. You know, we've already been looking, because it's natural. If you're going to own a business, the first thing you want to do is you want to envision where that business is going to be. And so you go out and you look at space and you say, I really want to be next to that Kroger's. I really like that new Walmart center. And sometimes they call the person on the sign and they kind of negotiate a deal. And 9 times out of 10, when we get on the phone with the franchisee, they'll say, already have the site. What's been interesting is of the 180 sites that we've closed, literally one of those franchisees actually had the best site identified before we got involved. What we find, and this is just human nature, is what we find is a franchisee doesn't really understand what makes a site successful for the franchisor. Number two, it's just human nature to have a bias. And most people say, geez, it'd be great if it was near my home. It'd be great if it's in this kind of fancy area that I could tell people where my store is. That may not sync with what makes a site successful, the franchisor. They may have demographics that are in a different section of the city. They may not need the A-plus retail space, but secondary space because their destination. So a lot of times they go in with the best intention, but a lot of times they'll also kind of play their cards and they'll start negotiating on space and really put themselves at a huge disadvantage because with, you know, 23 years of experience in commercial real estate, there's nothing better for the owner of a property to get a call from a tenant directly who says, gee, I really like your space. Your space is the only one I'm looking at. This is what I'm going to buy. Will you work with me? They'll always work with you, but at the end of the day, you're paying probably a premium for that space because you really need to negotiate and competitively make a landlord compete for your occupancy. You can't just go to them and play your cards.
That's interesting.
Right off the bat, they're locking themselves in a corner by making
that
mistake.
Right. And then you can't get out of it.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I thought when I was contemplating this new company and had talked to these franchisors, the thing that sealed it for me is in 2004, 2004, USA Today had on the front page of their business section an article that said top 10 reasons franchises fail. And it was through all this research. And what I found interesting is the top four all involve real estate. And now, number two for the top reasons franchises fail, number two was bad location. So that obviously is real estate. You pick a bad location. Once you're there, you're there. You can't just remarket it. You literally have sunk yourself into the wrong place, and it's going to be too costly to move. But what's interesting, the number one reason was a bad system of the franchise system, meaning do they have the sales system? Do they have the training? Do they have the ops? But part of the systems that you need to look for as a potential franchisee is do they have a site selection process or system that methodically helps you find the space that's going to optimize your chance of success. In the old days, there was a feeling, and you can still go on some websites today of some of the older franchisors and see this, there is always a feeling for liability reasons that franchisors said, listen, you're from Albuquerque, we don't know anything about Albuquerque, you can buy a franchise from us, we will give you a checklist, but you're on your own because it's your business, your decision, and it's your city. That at one time was kind of the norm in the industry. What they found was without giving guidance, they had a horribly inconsistent system where they had some woefully underperforming sites because franchisees left to their own devices, ended up putting themselves into a corner and getting spaces that didn't function well. What they have since found is, and this is really through the legal system, the Franchise Times had a great article that showed all four involved a franchisee that was not succeeding to the level they wanted to. What was interesting is in two of the cases, the franchisor literally said, I'm not getting involved, it's your decision, and you know, whatever you decide, you decide, and if it fails, it's your problem. The other two provided some pretty beefy site selection where they helped and assisted in finding sites. What's interesting is the court found in favor of the systems, the franchisors, that provided more services as opposed to less. So I think there's a trend now to say not only does a franchisor obviously want every site to perform well because you're only as good as the last site you sold because the next franchisee is going to call the new franchisees and say, how you doing? How'd the process go? Are you happy? Are you making money? So they're concerned about that. But they're also concerned for a liability reason.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for almost 2 years with 100 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible guests and some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from the Chief Executive Officer of the Rita's Franchise Opportunity, and take a listen to what Jim says about trust, respect, and belief. For the very first time with our partnership with Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is now allowing some unique sponsorship opportunities to franchisors to help you reach a large audience of prospective franchisees. So enjoy, here's a message from our sponsor, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Our partners, what is it that we're looking for?
So separate from the commitment and the passion and the integrity and wanting to work hard, you need to do something else with that franchisor. And so whether it's Rita's or it's, you know, I heard you talk about the other concepts that you have coming on, you need to do three things with that franchisor, because a franchisor does it with you. It's about trusting that franchisor, respecting the franchisor, and believing in the franchisor. Trust, respect, and believe. Because if you're going to become a franchisee, as my father used to say, you know, we pay this fee and we pay a royalty of every dollar. It's our responsibility to be able to believe in these guys and respect them and trust them. And it's difficult over the years, 20 years with Wendy's, 19 years. I'll be very honest. There was many ups and there were many downs. But there was never a point that we never believed in the concept and we didn't respect the guys. That was very important. So what I try and express and preach to our partners, because we do it internally, and I want them to do feel the same, is to trust us, believe in us, and respect us. And if you do that, then we're going to be successful together. Because if you go back to the beginning, it's why you bought the concept. And not everybody should be a franchisee. But if you take that route and you make the commitment of a franchisee, then do as the company suggests and recommends. Because go back to why you made the decision to become a franchisee, and the headlines, trust them, respect them, and believe in them, because they do with you.
And I think you're not going to have a problem getting that with future franchisees and, of course, your stores now, because of your so many years as being a franchisee, you're thinking just like them. You know what they want and think and everything. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I wish it was that simple. It isn't. Can I mention something else that I've really been working on, talking about, articulating a lot? And we've branded it the 5 C's, which I think is important, not that I think, I believe is important for this concept to be successful and to have many, many more years. We're celebrating, which is pretty historical, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary next year, which is, I remember I was with Wendy's when they did their 25th. It's a big deal. There's very few that celebrate 25 years. But anyway, we branded it at the 5 C's, and I won't go through them, but I'll just quickly give you the words. The first one is a commitment to the Rita system, and they're all self-explanatory, but that's number one.
Right.
Number two is the consistency, and I really drive that from the consistency from the store operations first, but then everything that we do as a franchisor and a franchisee, we need to be consistent, because all of us, everybody wants to do the right thing, and we all want to be good, and if we have this concept of being consistent and doing it every day, we got a better chance. The third is communication, and to me, we never get, as I say, I'm not an expert, we are constantly thinking about how to improve the communication. It is our lifeblood, it's our conduit, this is a partnership, and communication is the key to any relationship, husband and wife, siblings, whatever, it's communication. Four is the R&D, research and development. I can go through the product that we introduced this year. We introduced one last year, and we're going to introduce more next year, is because we as customers, guests, want to have more of a variety of products. And then the last one, and probably the most important, and this is a major one, and I call it embracing change, because the world is changing quick, but it's more than change. We need, as individuals, to embrace it. We need to embrace it and be a part of it and be in support of it, because change is difficult. I guess I've gone through it. I have many experiences of being difficult with change. I'm at the opposite extreme. I look for change. I want change. I promote change, because if we're not changing, then we're going to be left behind. This world, the business world, the franchise world, the guests are changing so fast. We need to be changing with them. And it's so difficult to be embracing it. So,
I think that's great points, Jim. The change is part of life, and, even some of your, most well-known concepts, the McDonald's and so forth, always have to be going through changes and adapting and so forth. So that's a good point to have that attitude. I mean, you're like the professor, Jim. I'm here, writing frantically, taking notes.
So am I.
You're doing a great job here.
Thank you. I, that's not my intent, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Talk a little about, Jim, just about the history of Rita's. I mean, people love it.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 2 years, and almost have done 100 shows up to this point, and during that time frame, we've had some fantastic quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from one of the top franchise attorneys in the country, Kevin Hine, and Kevin's going to talk to you about the hallmark of franchising. Our podcast today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Kevin Hine.
I think that people need to focus on is whether or not they can easily replicate their system. The more difficult, the more detailed the operation is, the harder it is to replicate. So, for example, take the food industry. You see lots and lots of franchise companies in the quick service restaurant segment, in fast casual segment, but you see very few successful franchise companies in the fine dining or the white tablecloth segment.
Sure.
And the reason is that it's very difficult to teach other people to execute at that level. When you've got people coming in at a very high price point, they don't want just food, they want a good experience, and that requires a certain level of skill and expertise, and it's very hard to replicate that across restaurants, even in a single city, much less across the country. So you want to make sure that you have something that's pretty easy to replicate and that you can train people on, because frankly, you want people to, you want your franchisees to come in and be able to duplicate what you've done, or you're not going to build a very successful franchise system.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons people invest in a franchise, of course, the money aspect, but because of this, the simplicity, hopefully, that the franchisor puts together. So this is a big part of you know, what you're talking about here, Kevin.
Absolutely. And the hallmark of franchising, and I know that some people can be critical of this, but the hallmark of franchising is that you give people the same experience no matter what market they're in.
Exactly.
You know, and we all know that if we stop at a McDonald's, whether we're in Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine, that hamburger is going to be the same.
Right.
And it's the same experience, and people come to rely on that and count on that experience, and that's why franchising has been so successful in so many industries.
Absolutely.
You know, and the last thing I always tell people is that you better have a unique marketing proposition. If you're going to try and franchise something and it's already been done, then you're at a real disadvantage. If you're just going to roll out the next hamburger chain franchise and there's nothing unique about what you do, then people are not going to be interested in buying into your system. They want to know, how do I compete with McDonald's, not how do I stand out there as a me too in comparison to McDonald's. So whether it's a new way of providing the service, whether it's a new way of collecting money, whether it's a new gimmick in terms of getting people in the door, I think of Pizza Patron, for example, the pizza chain out of Texas that serves predominantly the Latino market that recently started to accept pesos.
Right,
and,
we mentioned
and
that.
I mean, that's a great marketing proposition. It's a way to say, look, yeah, we sell pizza, but boy, is this ever, you know, a unique way to get people in the door, people who have different currencies and who have different issues. You know, we're gonna service that market. That's something unique, and that's what that's one of the things that makes that chain particularly unique, and therefore is able to attract people to become prospective franchisees.
Yeah, that pizza chain got a lot of PR too, Kevin, from that whole thing. You know, by doing something different, you know, it was they were pretty much in every national newspaper across the United States.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, good PR or bad PR is the same. It's going to drive people in the door.
Right. And wasn't that your idea, Kevin, that accepting pesos?
That, I would love to say that was my idea, but I'm not
quite
that great.
You know, you brought up a good point about the uniqueness here. I mean, I don't know if you listened earlier, but last week we interviewed Badass Coffee, and, you know, there's a lot of different coffee franchises, but they stand out because they're quality coffee. They have a Hawaiian theme. Right. They have a whole story behind it. It was why they're having success, Kevin, is this point you're bringing up about the unique marketing, you know, proposition.
Right. That's what I thought of, Don, as Kevin was explaining this. I thought of the same thing, Badass Coffee.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a great example. There's lots of coffee purveyors out there. Right. What's the hook? What's the hook to get people to buy the franchise? And more importantly, what's the hook to get new customers in the door?
Exactly.
Right.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. We're each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews for over 2 years now with over 110 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Barry Falcon, who's one of the founders of the Shelf Genie franchise concept. And, you know, a lot of times, if you're a listener to our show, you know that Don and I compare franchising in many instances to a marriage, not to diminish the sanctity of marriage, but it really is, in some instances, that big. Barry had a wonderful quote. We're going to call this podcast Data Little, and I think it's going to make a little more sense as we dive deeper into it. So enjoy. You're going to hear a message from our sponsor, and then again, Data Little Podcast, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
Big Mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest-growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats, and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
We have over 50 locations. A lot of times, you know, people don't want to invest until they feel comfortable with the people at the top. So imagine you guys doing a good job in that area.
Well, you know, we have Discovery Day, and what, like I think you mentioned, it is a marriage. So people have to get along with Alan and I, basically, because we're leading the company at this point. And so it is part of a relationship. We bring them in for Discovery Day and spend a whole day with them and talk to them and also learn a little about their background, what their needs are, what they're looking for. And not everybody is a good fit on either side. They might not like us and we might not like them, but so it's not always a good fit. But, you know, sometimes you date a little before you get married. And so we're looking for long-term relationships. So it's a five-year franchise agreement with renewals, and we're looking to keep that going.
So staying on that topic, as far as it has to be a right fit on both sides, what are the type of characteristics that you look for in a franchisee, Barry?
Well, we look for somebody that has a smile on their face with a little outgoing personality and understands sales and marketing. And so and they have to understand that advertising and marketing is an investment, not an expense. So, you know, folks that see that and are, you know, either have run businesses before or just understand business and been done in some home sales. Just any kind of business experience is really great. We have an extensive training program, but conversely, somebody that came out of being a CPA, maybe not our ideal candidate if they look if they're just looking at expenses and how to cut costs versus how to grow the business. And so we really like to have people that are outgoing, like to deal with people, like to solve people's problems, because you're providing a solution to make their life easy. And believe me, after installation, they're getting hugs and we get testimonial letters all the time. So you have to like dealing with people. And if you don't, then this is not the position for you or the business for you. If you want to sit in the back of an office someplace and just crunch numbers, then Shelf Genie is not it. But if you
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 2 years with over 111 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Steve Beagleman, who is a franchise expert and veteran, and Steve answers the question, should I go with a small franchise system or a large franchise system? And I thought Steve's response was quite brilliant. So first, we'll hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then Steve Beagleman with, should I go with a small franchise system or a large franchise system? Take care, everyone.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Yeah, very important. So, you've been with small startup franchise companies. You've been at the larger companies. What are some of the big differences between those two types of scenarios, Steve?
Well, Don, smaller companies obviously give a lot of attention to the franchisee. So, you know, every franchisee, you know that franchisee by name. You can get a hold of, you know, the owners of the company or the CEO of the franchise system. Pretty much you build very, very strong relationships when you're joining a smaller system. When you're joining a smaller system, you also typically get your choice of prime territory, maybe in your backyard where you want to be and open a business. You don't want to have to drive an hour to your store every day or your location.
Right.
So you get the prime territory, you get to know the management team, the owners of the company and the concept, and really build that strong relationship. The challenge is the brands aren't as well known. So it takes time. And, you know, obviously you need to make a decision when you're a franchise candidate or a potential franchisee looking at concepts. Do you want to join a company that's in the infancy and the growth stage, or do you want to join a more established, you know, national brand that has presence but's going to have limited locations available? You might have to go a much farther distance to get that location, and they have, you know, proven systems in place. So you're going to have to follow that system to a T, and you're going to deal typically with a regional operations manager and training managers in that region. You're not going to get to know the top level of management in a large company, whether it's a Dunkin' Donuts or a Dairy Queen or a Yum Brands, you're just not going to have that kind of interaction with the top management team. They're just too large of an organization. Again, great companies, but it all depends what you're looking for as a franchise, candidate or potential franchisee.
It's a real interesting question, though, huh? Like, that's where a franchise consultant come in, speaking to an expert like yourself, to really educate someone for that type of decision.
Sure, sure. It is a big decision, and you need to really know yourself to know what you're looking for. If you want an absolute 100% proven concept that's been around, tried and true, then you're going to want to join one of the big chains that have been around for 20-plus years that have,
right,
thousands of units. But if you're more an entrepreneur and you kind of want to feel things out and be a part of the growth strategy of an organization and impact some of the marketing decisions and decisions,
right,
from an operations standpoint for an organization, then you're going to look towards a smaller company that you can have impact, that you could be on the Franchise Advisory Council,
right,
that you could really be involved with decisions that the company makes for growing the brand forward.
If you have more territory, be in on the early part of the curve for that franchise that maybe has had some success so far, but they're really early in their process. So, yeah, real interesting.
Yep.
In 2006.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 4 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from two franchisees to the Cartridge World franchise opportunity, and we like to call them franchipreneurs, entrepreneurs who actually purchased a franchise. And I thought they really hit the nail on the head with their advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. They started off with the importance of working hard. I think a lot of times when people are thinking about buying a franchise, that they may think it's going to be a little easier than going into their own business, and certainly not true at all. A common theme on our show, whether we're talking to a franchisor or a franchisee, is they emphasize that the first year, especially the first year, is going to be a lot of hard work. They also talk about the importance of networking early, the importance of family support, which I think is very, very important, and also the importance of having enough capital to, again, get through that first year and that second year. It's going to be a lot of work. So I think you're going to enjoy this edition. And again, we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Here we go, and enjoy.
It is a wonderful part of the business, just meeting people and getting to know them and being able to help them out.
What advice, Norm, would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise or, say, for example, Cartridge World? Now you've been through the whole process, training, owning a few stores. What advice would you have someone now listening thinking of Cartridge World?
First of all, you have to understand that you're going to work hard. It's your own business, and it's going to do as well as you are willing to work hard. Learn as much as you can about the marketplace and about your customer base. Network early. Get out there and meet people. Set the stage for when you're actually opening the business.
Right.
And understand the financial aspects of the business. You can't come in undercapitalized because it may take you a while to start generating some cash flow. And you have to be able to continue to run your business, to market, and to advertise. Let people know you're out there.
Very good point. How about you, Jeff, on that point?
I agree with everything that Norm said, but you really have to do your homework. If you set your mind that you want to be a franchise owner, of course you look at different business models and you choose the model that you think is good and will make sense for you now into the future. To me, it was very important to look for a business model that wasn't just a hot topic for today, something that was gonna carry on and be successful for years to come. And then I took on a franchise coach, as I mentioned earlier, and found out a lot of things that I didn't know. Networking for sales is one thing, but networking to understand what you're in for is another thing that's sincerely important. you know, setting your business plan is and your goals is of catamount importance, and understanding, as Norm had said, your financial needs. My franchise coach was not only interested in the fact that I wanted to be involved in a franchise, but he wanted to know, is my family behind it? Because you really need to have people behind it, because as Norm said, this is a 24/7, even if your store isn't open 24/7, it's a 24/7 thinking process in gearing up and ramping up your business.
Absolutely. So, Norm, we have about like 30 seconds.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and over 200 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. The nice thing about hosting Franchise Interviews is we're frequently asked to be guests on radio shows and magazine interviews on the topics of entrepreneurship and franchising. And today you're going to get to hear an interview that we did 6 months ago on CBS Radio with Lynn Johnson on her motivational talk show. And of course the topic was entrepreneurship and franchising. And here's what we said. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Hey, did you ever think about buying a franchise? Do you think that now is the worst time to buy one? Or you're not sure whether anyone would loan you money to purchase a franchise? How does the whole thing work? Well, let's find out. We have an expert on the line, Marty McDermott.
Hi, Coach Lynn. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's always great to talk to you. I always feel like it's a World Talk reunion, right? Get together.
I know. We started out, guys, a very long time ago. I think we're some of the only people left, aren't we?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But it just, and it seems like yesterday that we started, Lynn.
You
know?
It really does.
It's just incredible. But it's the success that you've had is just wonderful to watch, though. I mean, it's just incredible.
Thank you so much. And yours has been pretty fantastic. You know, Marty, just over the break, when I announced that you were going to be here talking about franchises, I got a tweet from Alice and a lot of other people, but I selected Alice's tweet.
Oh, good.
Because she says that her family has owned the same bagel shop for over 35 years.
Wow.
But now they're going to have to close because the business has slowed and their debts are too high. She wonders if setting up her own franchises could save their business. So, Marty, I know you're an expert and you host that wonderful show called Franchise Interviews on Blog
right.
Talk Radio.
That's right.
Are franchises for everyone?
Oh, great question, Lynn. It's a deep question and definitely not. In fact, you know what? If I can quote my friend Dr. John P. Hayes, franchising is not for everyone and it's probably not for most people. And when I say that, you know, the first time I heard that phrase, Lynn, I was a little confused because I said, if franchising isn't for everyone and it's not for most people, then who could it be for? You know, it's so. But for franchising is really for someone who knows how to follow rules, follow systems. They're not a true entrepreneur. When I say that, sometimes franchisees get upset because they say, what are you talking about? I consider myself an entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is really the person that actually creates the franchise opportunity. And, you know, when you're talking about franchisors or entrepreneurs, they're really, and you know this, Lynn, they're very creative people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can look at something.
They could never follow rules, Marty.
Exactly. And they could just create something out of anything, you know. Franchisees, and it was funny because I was in Virginia, George Mason University,
mm-hmm.
on Friday talking about this topic. And one of the topics I was talking about was military being good candidates for franchise, for franchises, because they know how to follow a system, you know. So you really have to know how to follow a system, like to follow rules. And if you can't do that, then it's probably not for you. And so, yeah, it's always a word of caution before getting into franchising.
Now, I know that you say that there are two key factors that should be present before you consider buying a franchise. What are those factors?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different things. I mean, one is, what do you want the franchise to do for you, Lynn? You know, for example, like, I'll give you an example. I like Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I frequent Dunkin' Donuts, probably. Dunkin' Donuts and the coffee and the donuts, I wouldn't be a good franchisee for that type of system, because when you buy into a Dunkin' Donuts, you're working some pretty hefty hours.
True.
You know? So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, what's important to you? You know, you're really taking a deep assessment. And for me, you know, my family is most important to me. So if I wasn't, you know, with my family or my son, like if he has a baseball game one day or whatever it is, I'm going to get very frustrated, even if I'm making a lot of money. You know, so you want to ask yourself, what do you want this franchise to do for you? And you know, what kind of system is the best match for you? There's so many choices out there today, Lynn. I mean, there's like 80 different industries.
Wow.
Franchising. Yeah, a lot of people, when they just think of franchising, they just think of food. But it's actually up to about 80 different industries. There's accounting franchises, there's advertising franchises, there's shoe repair franchises, you name it. It seems like they have it, you know. So you really have to ask yourself, you know, what's the best match for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of research. And, you know, of course you come down to the financials.
Yes.
Too. And, you know, I mean, you know, McDonald's, as successful as it is, it's almost a home run every single time you have a McDonald's franchise. I can't afford one, you know. So the financial aspects are always a big factor as well. I think to go even deeper, I think you need family support. I think that's important as well, you know. I mean, if you're married, I think you have to have that support from your husband or your wife before you get into an opportunity as well, because you're taking them along for the ride with you.
I love that you said that, Marty.
Absolutely.
Do you know what you said? Yeah. You said you need the support from your husband, which would infer that a woman could easily go in and buy a franchise. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's, you can see the influence my wife has on me, too, I guess. She's got me trained, Liz, you know. You know, and she's a fan of your show, by the way, too, you know. So you can tell I listen, you know. But absolutely. But it's so true. And, you know, speaking of women, Lynn, I mean, they really do make fantastic entrepreneurs, you know. I mean, it's amazing. I think for the first time, you know, I teach for Kaplan University.
Yes.
And we have, in colleges, for the first time, there's more women in college today than there are men.
And they're older as well.
And they're older, you know. So what does that say to you, you know, is there's a lot of exciting trends that are taking place here in the United States. So
now I wanted to ask you about this, because I know that they just announced that even Ritz Camera is going to be closing many, many, many of their stores. And I'm kind of heartbroken about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm an amateur professional photographer.
Right.
But my question is, so how do you know if the franchise that you're interested in is even going to be around in the next 5 years?
Wow, it's a great question. You know, and nothing is ever 100% certain. I will say this, that not all franchises are created equal. And what you can do is, I mean, look at the company's track record, for one. You know, one of the things that you can look at is their franchise disclosure documents, and look at the history of the company. Some companies that just started franchising, I mean, they haven't really been around very long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of taking a chance in a way. You know, and you can look at how many franchisees they have and things like that. I think there's certain franchises that are always going to be around. I think McDonald's will always be here. They have like 33,000 units. Subway has about 33,000 units. So those ones are pretty safe. It's almost a home run every single time. So there is always that element of risk involved, even when you are buying into a franchise system. You know,
mm-hmm.
Of course, you can look at things like the market and things like that and kind of make your own assessments. But
so, Marty, with all that you know, because I have 1 minute left, and I definitely want them to come and listen to you, because I love your show on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
And I want them to check out your work. It's very, very important. Our franchise is still a viable option, even with this economic downturn.
Most definitely. I mean, I think, Lynn, and this is going to sound a little weird, is, you know, one of the interesting effects of the recession I see now is some of the best offers in franchising.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been doing this 10 years now. I mean, I'll give you a couple quick examples. Some franchisers, what they're doing is they're reducing or dropping a franchise fee for their new franchisees. Now, that's pretty significant, because a franchise fee usually goes for about $30,000-$40,000. So they're waiving that. In some cases, there's two-for-one deals where if you buy one franchise, they'll drop the franchise fee for the second one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, and that's the effect that I've noticed from the recession, is really some incredible deals. Even I've noticed there's a lot of great locations available right now.
Yes.
I think, I mean, you want to get those locations because, I mean, a great location can really overcome bad marketing, you know, and there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves. Next year, they're going to say, I should have got into that opportunity last year when they waived the franchise fee, when I could have got this killer location in this particular spot. And, you know, landlords are sometimes more willing to give a great lease to a franchise as opposed to, let's say, Tony Supps, who's just like a regular guy. You know?
So somewhere Tony's saying, hey!
Exactly. that. But, you know, so they're really getting some incredible deals right now. I think that this is the most exciting time to get into franchising. But again, you know, to quote you, you know, franchising isn't for everyone. It's not for most people. You do have to really do your homework. It's not guaranteed every single time. And, you know, not all franchises are really created equal. There are some that are better than others.
Well, Marty, it's a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to hear your
and
voice.
And where can
you.
My...
You're great.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thanks, Coach Lynn.
Where can my people hear you, do business with you, and all those wonderful things?
Absolutely. Go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can hear over, I think we're up to 160 shows, Lynn, recorded up to this point. Yeah, so it really, when I say that number, I mean, it just really, it tickles my spine because... I didn't think that there was going to be a market for this or we'd find like a listening base for it. But I mean, every single month we have more listeners, just like you know. So I haven't quite achieved your success yet, but someday. You
well,
know.
Thank you so much, Marty. And go check him out. Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, my dear old friend from World Talk Radio.
Thanks
Marty
so much, Lynn. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, prosper.
I'll take care. Bye-bye.
Here it is.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews. This week is going to be 2 years and 100 shows, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible guests and quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from, I think, one of the best motivational speakers in the world, Mr. Warren Gresius. And Warren talks about the importance of planning ahead and insurance. And for our very first time on our partnership with Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is now giving franchisors the opportunity to sponsor some upcoming radio shows. So once again, Mr. Warren Gresius, after a word from our sponsor, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Like insurance and things like that?
Yeah, one of the areas you address when talking about entrepreneurship is the importance of disability insurance, health savings accounts, and health insurance. I know my father-in-law was had his own insurance business in New York City, and he always talked about the importance of disability insurance. So maybe talk about those couple things a little bit for entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about disability insurance, a couple of things about it. First, it's a must. If you're going to own your own business. Remember, one of the big problems with owning your own business as opposed to working for a company is that you don't have a safety net. You know, when you work for somebody else, especially when you work for a large company, they're going to supply you with health insurance. They're going to supply you with a disability policy. They're also probably going to supply you with a small life insurance policy. But the second you leave that company, all that stuff is gone. And you're really going to need that disability insurance. And God forbid something happens to you and you're unable to work. Essentially, you're out of business. Well, disability insurance is going to give you an income. Now, remember something about disability insurance. Here's the important thing to remember. You cannot get disability insurance if you do not already have an income. And if you're first starting your own business, you're not going to have an income. So what I did was I knew I was going to go into my own business. So while I was working for somebody else and was making an income, I started buying disability insurance.
Right. And smart, so it? Yeah.
While you're working, you must, you know, the whole thing about starting a business, if you're not planning ahead before you get into that business, don't go into business. You know, that's why I saved my money. That's why I bought disability insurance. I had disability insurance when I went into business because I knew once I started for the first few years, I wasn't going to be able to buy any more because I didn't have an income. I wasn't paying myself.
Right.
Now, so when you're working, buy as much as you – if you know you're going to go into your own business, if you have any desire or plans to do it, buy as much as you can. You know, insurance companies will only give you as much as your income allows. You know, you can't buy as much as you want. They judge it according to the amount of income you have coming in. Now, once my speaking business started to take off, and every time my income rose, I bought more disability insurance.
Right.
I got a ton of disability insurance. God forbid anything ever happens to me, I've got a nice income coming in every single month. Now, once I hit 65, I'm not going to need it anymore. And they're not going to give it to me anymore either. The other thing about health savings accounts, you know, as a small business owner, you're going to get really destroyed by health insurance. The premiums are monstrous. The
right.
costs are ridiculous. But you got to have it. You can't afford to get sick. And you can't afford to let hospital and doctor bills put you out of business.
Right,
for years, I had health accounts, health insurance that were killing me. But, you know, when the health savings accounts came out, I realized and I went to somebody, you know, I always had a good insurance agent. That's another thing. You know, there's a lot of things you should skimp on as a small business owner. Watch your pennies. Watch your overhead. You know, things like long-distance telephones, you know, cell phone plan, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, overhead, watch it. But the one thing you don't want to skimp on is expert advice.
Right.
You got to have a good lawyer, a good accountant, and a good insurance agent. You know, those people, don't worry about paying them. You know, if you're going to – don't look to skimp on an accountant, a lawyer, or an insurance agent because you're going to end up with a crummy one. And a crummy one is going to cost you more than what you're paying out. So get good people. I have a great agent, and he advised me on the health savings accounts, found me someone to work with, and now I have a health savings account for my business. You know, it's a low-premium, high-deductible plan with great tax deductibility in it. It's the greatest tool for a very small business. And I'm a big believer in that. You should also have life insurance. You know, when you're in your own business, you want to protect your family, you need life insurance. But I cannot emphasize enough planning ahead and buying disability while you're still working and making a good income before you start your business. Because then at least you're giving yourself some sort of safety net. Don't allow catastrophic things beyond your control to put you out of business.
Right. Such an important point you bring up, especially something like disability insurance. No one's going to think of that. You know, no one thinks of themselves as getting sick. Everyone's trying to stay positive, starting a new business. But you got to set yourself up across the board starting a business, just not things like this, putting together a business plan and calculating how long you can go, you know, before you make a salary. And
I'll tell you something. You're more likely to get hurt than you are to die.
Sure. Right. Absolutely.
So disability insurance is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what my father-in-law told me. It's just as important, if not more, than having life insurance.
Absolutely, and I have both. I spend a lot of overhead every year on insurance. Life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Diamond Financial Services. And if you're looking for a loan to finance your franchise, simply click the Diamond Financial Services logo below. Today's podcast, you're going to get to hear from a legend in entrepreneurship and franchising, and that's Michael Gerber. And we've had Michael on the show two times up to this point, and the first time we had him on the show, Don and I were amazed at the amount of emails we received and listeners, and it was really overwhelming and incredibly fun at the same time. One of the questions that we commonly ask on every show is, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? And naturally, Michael's response was brilliant. So here we go.
Franchising and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, I think before that, Mike, I think a lot of people listening might be a little surprised that your mom still tells you what to do.
No, that's the problem. My mom has never told me what to do. She inspires me to do things that I never thought about doing.
Absolutely. That's great. That's tremendous. Yeah. What advice would you give to a prospective franchisee looking to buy a franchise, Michael?
Well, first of all, understand what you want. It has less to do with the franchise than it does with you. What is it truly important to you to do? This whole new emergence of the Dreaming Room, for example, really revolves around the idea that struck me that this is the age of the new entrepreneur. And the new entrepreneur is very, very much different than the one who preceded him. The new entrepreneur is more interested in a business that has meaning, not just money. So the whole question for the new entrepreneur or the one who wants to buy a franchise is really, so what's the meaning of this? What's the impact of this on the world? When we begin to look at the world and really realize that the world is in dreadful shape, you wonder then how I, in a business of my own, could have some kind of impact that would add value to the world. So I'd begin to look at franchises from that perspective. What's the value of the franchise? Presuming that I'm going to be successful, what is the value? What do I deliver that has value to my customer? What pride do I get from what it is I'm doing? What am I adding a benefit to the world as opposed to subtracting from the world, presuming, again, I'm going to be successful? So the first thing is, what does this company mean? What is the true meaning of this, and what's the impact and import of it? For me in my life, you know, I'm going to die one day, and I'm going to probably die inside my business. And what I'd like to ask myself is, will I be proud of the fact that I devoted the rest of my life to doing this?
Right.
Would I want to say this to people I love? Would I want to say this to my kids? What am I going to say to them when I describe what I've chosen to do with the years of my life that I'm going to do it in? Because, in fact, you're going to spend the rest of your life in this business or in something very much like it. The second thing I would ask, once I've decided that, yes, this is a worthy thing to do for me, a human being, how organized is this thing that I'm going to do? How organized is it? Does it have a truly kick-ass breakthrough system for doing what it needs to do, which is attract people to it as customers, which is convert those people into active customers and paying customers, and ability to convert those customers into clients, meaning they come back again and again and again and again. So I want to build or buy that capability, or I'm going to then be need to build it for myself.
Wow, it's a great. We've been asking that question now since we started the show, Michael. We never got such a great response.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, so really, you know, don't jump into anything quickly. Do your due diligence, and that's a good point. I mean, this might be something you've been doing for a long time. Are you going to be proud of telling people this is
strong
what you
words,
do?
Proud, yeah.
I mean, that's Marty, you and I have talked about people just. Can't jump into something that sounds great. They gotta
exactly
do
yeah, but and they have to go more deeply into their own motivation.
Right,
and that's the thing that's missing almost all the time. Essentially, the prospective franchisee, the guy, the woman who decides they want to buy a business opportunity. Essentially, they go out there, and the one who pitches the deal the best gets the deal. And I'm essentially saying it's got to turn around the other way. The one who's going out becomes more thoughtful about what I'm looking for, as opposed to simply going out and looking for a good business to run.
Right, absolutely.
So that's that right there might be a strong characteristic of a
Those are very deep words from Michael. Is talking about the whole, you know, what is this franchise going to mean? You know, how do I want to be remembered? So, again, it's going very deep into that question, but Ken. It's one of the best responses I think we've had up to this point. And again, it is Michael Gerber. You know, he's sold millions of copies. His latest book is Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. And we had Michael on the show several months ago, and we spoke about the book. And again, he's going to be in Great Quotes and Franchising on several locations. It was hard to decide which one we were going to use first, but this was it. So again, you're going to see Michael again in a couple other editions of Great Quotes and Franchising. That day that we did the show, following us, actually became a friend to the show, Ken Six, who hosts a show called Arbor Talk with Peter Felix. And Ken was also a big fan of Michael Gerber. Here was Ken's reaction following the show. And again, we'll leave you with that. And we'd love to hear your feedback on this edition of Great Quotes and Franchising. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here we go.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Franchise Interview. Take care, everyone.